welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share the show with a friend. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Thanks for tuning in to the Extraordinary Moms Podcast today. This is episode 127. I'm Jessica, your host, and I'm so glad to be with you for our Extraordinary Mom of the Month award episode. If you nominated somebody, thank you so, so much. It was so fun going through all of these amazing nominations. And even if your Extraordinary Mom did not win technically today, they are still winners in my book, and I've added several new names to my list of potential guests for the future. So thanks for putting them on my radar. You guys know a lot of amazing people. This is really great. I love it so much. In fact, it was so hard to just choose one. And so I selected two. I broke the rules, but it's my podcast and I can do what I want. I selected two Extraordinary Moms of the Month for this month. So our winners today are Randa Cantor and Autumn Hodges. And we're actually going to talk with Autumn first and then Randa. And you will see exactly why I could not choose between these two extraordinary moms. One other little note. I know that some of the sound has been kind of wonky on the intros lately. Like it's hard to hear me over the music. I really apologize. I'm still working on the editing thing. You'd think 127 episodes in that I'd be really good at it. But I changed my microphone setup, so that explains that. But I'm going to go back over and try and adjust those levels now that it's brought to my attention. And so if some episodes disappear from your queue and you haven't listened, I'm not really sure how this is going to go because I have to remove the old ones to put in the new ones. And so they may go directly into your queue or maybe not. So you may need to go back in and download the last few episodes if you haven't already listened. So thanks for being patient with me. I really appreciate it and hope that hasn't been too annoying for you. I am so excited to share with you first Autumn Hodges. She is a mom of four. Their family is about to move to Ethiopia to do a medical mission. And wow, she's just amazing. So I can't wait for you to hear my conversation with Autumn. All right. I want to welcome Autumn Hodges. Hi, Autumn.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Good. Where am I talking to you from today?
I am in Texas.
Oh, Vega, what part?
Vega in the Panhandle, a tiny little town outside of Amarillo.
Wow. I've never heard of that, but that is awesome. That's great. That's awesome. Well, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Extraordinary Moms podcast, but we wanted to recognize you as our Extraordinary Mom of the Month award winner. This month we have selected two and you are one of them, Autumn, because your sweet sister-in-law, Kaylee, wrote the nicest nomination about you. And I'm just going to go ahead and read that and embarrass you a little bit, okay?
Sure.
Autumn is the mom of four little kids, and she had them all during her husband's med school and residency. And now they're preparing to move to Ethiopia to do medical missions. She is infinitely patient, completely inspirational, but not intimidating, and she's just an amazing mom. Her presence gently challenges me to be braver in everything, braver in dealing with hard things, braver in taking leaps, and braver in having faith, braver in humility. She's just an extraordinary mom. Oh, that's so sweet. What really stuck out to me was you're inspirational but not intimidating. I like that. That's amazing. Will you just tell me more about your motherhood journey, Autumn?
Yes. Like Kaylee said, we have four young kids, and we started having them. We found out we were expecting our first daughter the day before my husband started medical school, and we had our fourth baby like a couple of weeks before he graduated residency.
Oh my gosh.
During that time, we were just fully in little kid baby mode. And it was quite a journey. My husband was extremely busy, and it was long and hard for both of us in different ways. We have four great kids, three girls and a boy, and just love them and just thankful for really couldn't have done it without the Lord leading us every step of the way.
Absolutely. And for, I know lots of medical school wives and everything like that. And I'm a military wife. And so I'm very familiar with the solo parenting role that you often have to take on. How did you handle being a solo parent a lot of the time and having to deal with a lot of the day to day on your own? Is there anything that you did to really help you get through?
You know, it was really just what we had to do. We didn't really have an option. This is, you know, it was just the path that was laid out for us. And we were I've always been very supportive of my husband's desire to do medicine and the call to do medical missions. We kind of knew that from day one. And so it really was a calling, and it made it easier for me to endure all of the long nights and days, where sometimes my kids wouldn't see my husband for several days. He would just leave so early in the morning, get home so late at night, or he would be away sometimes for weeks at a time or months, doing rotations in other cities or states. So really just relying on the Lord and just knowing that we were in it together, even though it was a hard road. It was still something that we were doing, we were committed to as a family. And I also really tried to involve our kids, even though they didn't get to see my husband as often as we all would have liked. We really were kind of my husband's cheerleaders. We, you know, just talked all the time about what he was doing and how he was helping people and how we were helping him by supporting him in that way. So it kind of made them feel a little bit more involved in that way.
Absolutely. Wow, that's amazing. And so tell me about the process of becoming interested in medical missions, and what does that look like for your family?
Yeah, so we have known all along that medical missions was something that we were going to do. My husband had that desire even before I ever met him, and it was something that was new to me, but I just really was encouraged by his convictions and his heart to be willing to travel all over the world to help other people in need of that rather than stay here and make a life as a physician in the States. And he just loves people, and I love that about him. And God really just put that desire in my heart the more I started just looking into it and being curious what was medical missions really all about, and just seeing the needs and, you know, hurting people all over the world who need people to come and take care of them, and also to train up other physicians within their own countries to help train them so that they can take care of their own people. So that's really something that we have just had on our hearts. We've had an opportunity to go. My husband's been a few times, and I got to go to our future home in Ethiopia last year, and it's really just been just something that little by little God keeps stirring in our hearts and for our children. We love studying about the world together and just loving people and learning ways that we can help others.
That is amazing. And I think so many times we're given promptings of what that next step should be for us, but it's hard to take that leap, right? It's hard to have that faith. It's hard to really step out in that thinking, am I really going to move to Ethiopia? Is this really like our life? And that can be really scary. As exciting as it sounds in theory, like the actual, we're doing this as a family with four kids. And that's really huge and really amazing to demonstrate that for your children, that you can take risks and step out in faith, and the Lord will provide for you in that way. Yes. Did you get to select Ethiopia, or how did Ethiopia come about?
We went to a medical conference, and we were just talking to some other people, letting them know of our interests and our desires. And they, you know, some people were pointing us in different directions. This is a great hospital to start out. This is a great country. And really just through some specific circumstances, my husband had heard of this particular hospital in Ethiopia and the great need that they had there. And God just really was giving us a burden in our hearts for this place. And so the more we learned about it and the more we looked into it, the more we really felt called there. And my husband actually, my husband's an orthopedic surgeon. There was only one orthopedic surgeon at that hospital in Ethiopia at the time. And he served a region, or the hospital serves a region of about 5 million people. And only one orthopedic surgeon. So we were like, wow, there really is a big need there.
Wow.
And so my husband had the opportunity to, he went to a medical conference in the States, and that one orthopedic surgeon happened to be speaking at that conference. So they got connected and really just hit it off, and my husband got to go work there for a few weeks, and like I said, last year I got to go, we took two of our daughters with us, and our oldest daughter didn't even want to come home. She was just like, leave me here and I'll just wait for you till you get back. So it was really just a great experience for us. So now we're just doing everything that we can to prepare for moving.
What are you most looking forward to about life in Ethiopia, and what are you most concerned about, or what kind of still makes you nervous?
We are just most looking forward to being able to just love other people. I mean, that's what life is all about, no matter where we are. And so we're just really excited that God has chosen this particular place to go and love and serve and just really see what the needs are. My husband has a very specific purpose in being there, but the kids and I can be involved in the hospital. We can go color with little kids or play games or just pray for patients. I really have a heart for parents who have their children in the hospital. Our son had open heart surgery when he was a baby. And so I know what that feels like, you know, just to be waiting while your child is going through something very serious. I really just have a heart to just love on parents who are there watching their children go through the same thing. And there'll be opportunities in the community. So we're just really excited about coming alongside the other missionary families that live there and just working together just to love the people of Ethiopia. But it's not without, like you said, there are challenges to overcome, and there are things, we're leaving our comfort zone and we're headed into a whole new culture, language, everything about it is different. And so we just have to be willing to say that's okay. We're really, we're ready to learn new things, and God is a creative God, and he's made an amazing world, and we're excited to see, what our life can be like there.
Oh, what a great attitude. Oh, that's amazing. I am so excited for you. I will live vicariously through you, Autumn. This is such an amazing adventure, and what a gift you're giving to these 5 million people that could potentially, be affected. And wow, what an amazing call that you've answered to. And I'm so inspired. So
we are excited to do it.
Is there a way that we can follow along with your family? Do you have a blog, social media? Tell us where we can follow along in this really exciting journey.
Yes, so you can find us. We have a website. It's apieceofourlife.com, and that's P-E-A-C-E. Mm-hmm. And we also are on Instagram at apieceofourlife.
Great, and I'm going to link to everything on my website, too, so people can follow along, because this is going to be an amazing, amazing thing. Well, I always ask my guests one final question, Autumn, and it's this. Yes. What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
Oh, that's such a good question. I would probably tell myself to relax a little bit more and not worry about all of the details of everything coming together perfectly. I think we have all these hopes and desires as mothers, and it's really easy to project all those things onto our children. And I think it would just be to love them, just to, play with them more, but just not be so worried about all the details coming together, and also not worrying about what other people think. We all have our own motherhood journeys, and I think it's really important just to settle in as the person that God created us to be with the children he's given us, and just to love them.
I could not agree more. Autumn, I think you're extraordinary. I am so glad to know you now. I cannot wait for this. So when do you move there?
We are, our sights are set on this summer. There's some paperwork and some other things that we're waiting on. It's a longer process than we imagined, but we are hoping this summer.
Exciting. I cannot wait to follow along, and I know the audience will feel the same way. Thank you for sharing your journey and for sharing your story. It's going to be so inspiring to people, and you're just doing great work. I think you're extraordinary. So congratulations for being our Extraordinary Mom of the Month Award winner. Woohoo!
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it so
much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Isn't she amazing? I love how she's able to up and move her family to Ethiopia and have such an open-minded attitude. I didn't even want to move to Virginia when they said we're moving to Norfolk. And here she is moving halfway around the world. I love that so much. And I think we're all given different personalities and different opportunities for a reason. And clearly this is a great fit for her family. And it's going to be so fun watching them experience life in Africa. So thanks, Autumn, for sharing your journey. What an extraordinary mom you are. Okay, so next we're going to talk with Randa Cantor. We had three people nominate Randa, and you'll quickly see why she is so extraordinary. So let's get to our conversation with Randa Cantor.
All right, I want to welcome Randa to the show today. Hi, Randa.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing good.
Good. Where am I talking to you from today?
I am in Gilbert, Arizona.
Well, I had an overwhelming response for your nominations. I actually had three different people highlight you as an extraordinary mom, Randa.
I saw that and it was super overwhelming to read their names. I was like, wow.
You're so sweet. So I'm just going to read through those nominations right now and totally embarrass you, but really hopefully it doesn't embarrass you. Hopefully it just validates what a good job you're doing. So let me read that now. Tavis, your friend Tavis said, I nominate Randa for Mother of the Month. She's truly an inspiration to all who are blessed to know her and work with her, and even those who just follow her posts. Life is challenging and trials are hard, yet through all the ups and downs, joys and hardships, Randa never gives up and accepts this life with light, grace, and perseverance. She lifts everyone up when she could say, why me? And yet she has chosen to give her all to her beautiful family. She has the patience of Job and the tenacity of a lion. I love that so much. Yet she does it all with grace and the light of Christ. Randa Cantor is definitely worthy of this award. And then Nicole said, she's absolutely an extraordinary mom. She goes above and beyond for her children, handling each of their challenges with positivity and love. She's encouraging of not only her family, but her friends and strangers. She is an inspiration. She's helped to encourage and support me through my own trials and struggles of infertility and trying to grow my family. And she's always willing to go the extra mile to listen to what you have to say and to be a shoulder to cry on. She's a wonderful example of service and selflessness. And I cannot think of anyone more deserving than Randa for this award. Oh, and then Lauren finally says, Randa is a true miracle to everyone who comes in contact with her. She has the biggest heart and deep love for everyone she meets. As a mom of four children, she goes above and beyond to help each of them succeed through their strengths and trials in life. She gives light and hope to social media through her empowering posts with faith-filled stories about her family and those she meets. She's often found reaching out in love and service to those who've come upon hardships. Over the last few months, she has spent time helping a mom see the best in life, even with a special needs child in the hospital. Oh, it makes me want to cry. Not to mention, she recently touched thousands with a news story about her incredible son, Parker. I have a Parker too, Randa.
You do?
Yes, I do. My oldest, who has a heart of gold, just like his mama, but his body uses a wheelchair. She fights hard for her children to be capable of anything and everything. Parker was turned away from many swim lessons and teachers due to challenges physically. She continued searching until she found a school that would help him swim. And during the news interviews, she teaches the world to find joy and not ever give up. Randa is most definitely an extraordinary mom. Ah, Randa! Wow. You're amazing. This is just amazing. So I want to hear more about your motherhood journey. Will you just tell me a little bit more about you and your family?
Of course. So I became an instant mom when I married my husband. My oldest daughter, Ellie, is my stepdaughter.
Shit.
Just from the beginning, I was really excited to be a mom. And I think part of that was just growing up and my mom, I looked up to her and wanted to be like her. And people have told me, like, there's no way you could love your stepdaughter the way that you love your other kids, but I do. And so I don't know, it's just I feel like God really opened my heart to be able to just love her, and she's the sweetest girl, so she's easy to love. But
yeah. And so then you went on to have your other children. Tell me about them.
So yeah, I have Tegan, and then he's 9, and Macy is 7, and then Parker is 4. And I had a really healthy pregnancy, and then it wasn't until about 2 weeks before he was born, I went in for just a quick checkup, and like, no big deal, everything had been fine, and the doctor actually came in and was like, how are things going? Do you have any questions? Nope, I'm good. He's like, okay, I'm actually in a super big hurry to go over to the hospital for the C-section, so we'll see you next week. And he stepped out, and I hopped up to grab my purse, and he walked back in, and he's like, I feel like we should just do a quick ultrasound. And they found out at that point that Parker had hydrocephalus.
Wow.
And that started just this really cool journey that we're still on. So I was so grateful for that doctor being in tune with what somebody else needed and taking the time to stop what he was doing, even though he was in a hurry, because I'm not sure what would have happened. And I've thought about it a lot and have to tell myself, stop, don't think about what if.
Right.
But I don't think it would have turned out the way it did. And I was so grateful for to just, throughout my pregnancy, have a healthy pregnancy, but be a little bit prepared before he was born.
Sure. And so what did hydrocephalus look like for Parker?
So initially, I didn't know what that would be. Mm-hmm. They gave us like this wide spectrum and sent us to the specialist neonatologists and perinatologists. Like, so when he was born, we already kind of had a team of doctors ready for the worst case scenario, and then, you know, there to be like, you don't need me if things were fine. Mm. And so when he was actually went into labor, and so we had to rush down and have an emergency C-section. He wanted to come earlier than they had scheduled us for. And so when we got to the hospital and they did the C-section, he was born, and right away they saw that he had spina bifida. So he had a big hole in his lower back, and they had told us that sometimes hydrocephalus is all by itself, and sometimes it comes along with other things, but they had done their tests and couldn't find what the other thing was.
Wow.
But so when he was born, we saw that, and he got whisked away real quick to surgery to have his back closed up. And then a few days later, had surgery to put a shunt, which drains the fluid off the brain, for the hydrocephalus. And I think having Parker born with, and specifically the hydrocephalus, initially, the neurosurgeon was amazing, and he pulled us in, and he's like, after his first MRI, he showed us the MRI, and he's like, this is your son's MRI, this is a normal MRI, and Parker's brain was completely smashed, so it was all fluid. It just looked clear. And he's like, his brain is just this, like, 1 centimeter around. That's how smashed it is.
Oh, my gosh.
And if you look at, like, any MRI of somebody that's, I don't know, like, functioning in the world, there's all these, like, squiggly lines, and you see the squiggly brain just covering the whole circle of the, you know, the whole interior of the skull. And so he told us at that point, he's like, we're going to put the shunt in, but I don't know, like, your son may never do anything. Ugh. And he's like, he may never recognize you, he may never speak, he may never do anything physically, because his brain is completely smashed. And he said, I just want to give you, like, that, like, looking at this MRI, that is what I see for his future. I said, he's like, I'm not, that's what it will be, but that's the potential.
Sure.
And so from that moment on, it was just, it just planted the seed in me of, like, I am going to do everything I can to prove that wrong.
Wow.
To help my son just excel in whatever ways he can. And it changed my perspective with my older kids, because I realized how lucky I was to have three healthy kids, and how, I don't know, it just was very, and it was hard at first to see other moms. It still is sometimes. I'll pull up to the school to drop him off at preschool, and it takes me twice as long to get his wheelchair out, and him, and, like, just his stuff, and and like other moms will pull up, drop their kid and leave, and I'm like, I got here before you. This is so annoying.
Yes.
But it's also like some days I kind of, it like perks at my heart, but some days, most days, it's just my normal now, and so it's not a big deal. It's just what I do, and it's just how we do it.
And you want other people to view you as a normal mom too, right? Not just a mom to be kind of coddled, because I'm sure that could be the reaction. Like, people aren't quite sure what to do with, do you invite Parker to the birthday party if that's going to be a challenge for him or things like that. But ultimately, like, he's your son and he's a little boy, and you just want people to view him as a child, you know, a child first, and then he has these special needs. Right? How have you been able to kind of communicate that with people and develop a community around you that kind of treats your family as normal as possible?
You know, we have been just so blessed by amazing people around us. I remember the first time he was invited to play at a friend's house. And I could have just burst out in tears. And I was so nervous having him go, and I should say, to play at a friend's house that wasn't, there was like family, or like we have a family friend who just we're super super close with, and we kind of always had each other's kids and were at each other's houses, but like to go have a play date, this mom, I was like, are you sure? I mean, I'll bring his little zip-sack wheelchair, and I'll bring this, and if this happens, like if he has a seizure, like it was just all these things, like. And then he's allergic to latex, so no, this, or this.
Right.
And she wasn't, she was like, okay, that's totally fine. And it was just down the street, but I just, when
that's
I went
a big
to go
step.
Pick them up, and they were, she had totally created this atmosphere. It was right when Box Trolls had come out, and they had made these out of cardboard boxes. Like, each of them had one over them, and Parker was in his wheelchair and had it over him with his little head popping out, and it was just a moment where I realized, like, he's gonna be okay with people like this around. And we've had so many people that have just reached out and included, and moms that have come to me and they're like, I want him to come to the birthday party, or I want to include him, how do I do that?
Sure. Don't you appreciate people asking that question instead of just saying,
oh
like,
gosh,
I'm afraid of offending, or I'm afraid of anything, and so they don't say anything.
Yes, I'm so grateful for people that are just so wonderful, and he is so easy to love. He has completely defied, like, every time we go see his neurosurgeon now, it's the same one from when he was born. Everyone in his office is just like, this kid is amazing, because it's such a miracle, the things that he has been blessed to be able to do. I mean, he talks, and at this point, the only thing that really sets him apart to other people that just meet him is that he's in a wheelchair and he can't walk. But everything else, like, he just talks and laughs and makes jokes and tries to scare people by popping wheelies. And I mean, you just, and then laughs about it when they scream, you know, it's just so.
Wow.
Yeah, but still, I mean, his preschool teacher, everyone, they're always like, how, we want to do this project. How can we do it with, like, how, like, help us brainstorm ideas. How can we do it to be able to include him?
Wow. So. And for all those people that have gone the extra mile, it's like you want to call them all out, right? And just be like,
yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And why aren't more people like that? I love that. That is so amazing. What would you tell somebody that is currently maybe facing a diagnosis with a lot of uncertainty, or facing any type of hardship where they're grieving the loss of that potential for the future, and it's going to look different, and they're coming to terms with that? What would you, how did you get through that?
I think I would just say, have hope and look at your own child the way that you want others to see them. Like, look for the best in them and celebrate the small accomplishments. We had, and then also don't coddle, just like you talked about other moms, like coddling our family or me, or like, you know, like not treating us like normal. One of Parker's very first therapist told me from the very beginning that his biggest disability would be, or his biggest handicap would be his siblings and his family. Like doing things for him that he could learn to do himself. And
wow.
That was a huge thing to, it still is hard.
Sure.
A lot of things that I'm like, but it's so hard for him to do. And my kids, especially Tegan, will be like, but mom, can I just do it for him? Because he'll be like, you know, getting frustrated over having to do something himself or whatever. And, but he even, I think, is a lot stronger because we just tell him, you can do it. Come on, like, we'll be patient. We'll help you, but you can do this. Like, you can learn to do this on your own.
Wow.
And so just to be, I don't know, it is so hard to grieve losing what you thought you were going to get,
mm-hmm.
or what you thought your child was going to be. Especially because you have your child still in front of you. It's not like you're
sure.
empty-handed. And so it is a really interesting grief process.
Yeah.
Because you feel guilty even because you're thinking, I shouldn't be grieving like other people have lost their child. I still have mine here. So I should be happy, you know? And it is hard, but I feel like I was able to get through it just on faith and knowing that God doesn't give you anything that you can't handle. And so it was, again, just another little challenge of like, okay, if then I need to handle this like the best way. If, you know, if God knows that I can do this, then I'm going to do it and I'm going to try and do it the very best that I can, which some days I don't do so great.
Right, and then there's grace for those days, right? There's
yes.
grace for those moments where you just feel sad for yourself and you feel sad for mm-hmm. him or you feel sad for somebody else. And that's okay. But I just love oh my gosh, you're just amazing. Your perspective is so amazing. And no doubt that it's teaching your other kids such valuable lessons. I think sometimes when our family goes through something hard, we think like the suffering that our kids, we feel so bad for the disadvantage of our other children and things like that. But really, for every thing that's hard for them about this, think of what they're gaining, the perspective they're gaining and the lessons they're learning through developing this compassion and awareness and acceptance of people that are different than them and that they truly love. That's an amazing gift.
It has been so neat. I mean, so many questions. My kids will be like, wait, so-and-so has special needs?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and so being able to even talk about like kids in their class with autism or with just learning
yes.
disabilities, I'm like, there's all different special needs. You don't have to be in a wheelchair. And even talking about with them, like, that each one of us really has special needs.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's an anxiety or a fear of, whatever it is, like, we all have things that are harder for us than maybe for other people seem easy. Just recognize that everyone has hard things and no one's perfect, whether it's their mind or their physical body or just, you know,
yeah.
how they think or perceive things. And it's been such blessing. I mean, honestly,
yeah.
at this point, I'm like, there's no way I would take back. If I could do it all over again, of course I would want him to be able to walk and not have to go to the doctor all the time and all these things. But I don't know, it might sound selfish or weird, but I feel like we've been blessed way more because of everything that we've gone through with him, and even that he is the person he is because of the relationships he's made, going to all these appointments and with his therapist, and I don't know, it's just
yeah.
been a huge blessing.
Wow, I just have chills, and no doubt, like his potential and his ability to believe in himself and develop these skills, I mean, there's just no stopping him with a supportive mom like you who views him the way you do. And in turn, the way that you view him, I love how you said that, is how you're influencing everyone else about how to view him. Right? And
yeah.
I just,
yeah.
I
it's kind
love
of funny.
That.
People will say stuff to me all the time of, And I've talked to other moms that have kids with special needs, and people say it to them too. And it's kind of hard to hear people say, like, oh, you're so amazing, I don't think I could do what you do. But you do. Like,
you do
every
it.
Mom does.
Everybody
every
does
mom
it.
Does
Yeah.
what they have to do for their kids,
Yes.
you know?
Yes.
So it kind of feels sometimes like, well, yes, you would. You would do everything that I'm doing. Because one of the biggest things that I think that's blessed me that I've learned with Parker is it happened when he was pretty tiny. Maybe he was like two. We went to a jump, like a trampoline park place. And it was the first time we had gone to one since he had been born. My kids love those places, and they had just been begging, can we please go? But I just, there was a lot of things that I tried to avoid, like the park, or just a lot of places where I felt like once he was at an age where other kids his age were able to do those things and participate, he was no longer an infant that shouldn't be doing those things anyway.
Sure.
It was just hard to go and realize, like, my son's not going to be able to do those things and have it feel okay. And so we went to this trampoline park, and I was fully anticipating. I thought that they would let me hold him and bounce with him so he could still participate a little bit, but even though he can't stand and jump on his own. And when I got there, I found out that their policy is until they can stand and jump on their own, they can't jump, like they can't be on the trampoline. And I explained to them the situation, and they were like, I'm really sorry, ma'am. Like, this is our policy, and these are the reasons why, and all the reasons why it made sense. And I'm like, yeah, but, and they were like, we're sorry, we can't make an exception. So I was ready to just turn around and walk out. I was so frustrated and just sad and trying to hold back tears. And my kids were like, Mom, can we please stay? Can we please stay? So we stayed. And they were playing, and Parker was in his wheelchair, and I was sitting there feeling sorry for myself, and I look over, and he's laughing hysterically, watching the kids jump, and it just hit me that this is a huge life, and finding joy in other people, and other people's accomplishments, and what other people are doing, even if we aren't having those same accomplishments or opportunities. And it was just a moment where I was like, oh, okay, I have so much to learn from my children. And I think I realized at that moment too that it was like my attitude could rub off on him.
Yes.
And I was thinking, I don't ever want it to be reversed where he's sulking and I'm trying to get him to, but if I keep having this attitude, then that's what he's gonna start doing too.
Sure.
And so I've just tried really hard since then to just have a positive outlook and not, so, I mean, I still feel sorry for myself. but for the most part, I try and just snap out of it and look for the positive things and let those other things go, because we can't change them.
Right.
And so
I love that. Oh man, Randa, I'm so glad to know you. This is amazing. You're amazing. Where can
Thank
people
you.
Find you online? Do you have a blog, or do you have places where people can follow along with your family?
I don't have a blog. I am on social media. I'm on Instagram with, what is it? I don't even know.
Let's see. Are you Mighty Miracles 21?
21. I'm like, I knew it was Mighty Miracles. I'm like, I don't even know what number it is. Yes, Mighty Miracles 21.
Okay, yeah, and I'll link to all this on the website. But, yeah, well, I always ask my guests one final question, Randa, and it's this. What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
I think I would tell myself to not give up, that it's be harder than you think, and it's also going to bring more joy than you could possibly comprehend, and just to keep trying, just to keep loving and trying to be the best mom that you can for your kids. And I don't know, just that Satan will try and make you feel like you aren't good enough, or somebody else would be a better mom for them, or all the little lies that he tries to place. and that it's just not true, that you were blessed with the kids that you have for a reason, and that you just keep trying and keep doing what you can, and things will work out, and you'll be able to see your efforts, like, I don't know, just come about in little things that your kids do or things that they say, that you'll see that the things that you're doing are making a difference.
I love that. Randa, I think you're extraordinary, and so do your three friends who nominated you, and now all of our audience at the Extraordinary Moms podcast will know as well and be inspired by you and be inspired by Parker, and I think you're extraordinary. So congratulations for
Thank
winning
you.
Our award.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
You too. Be the best mom that you can for your kids, and I don't know, just that Satan will try and make you feel like you aren't good enough, or somebody else would be a better mom for them, or all the little lies that he tries to place, and that it's just not true, that you were blessed with the kids that you have for a reason, and that you just keep trying and keep doing what you can, and things will work out, and you'll be able to see your efforts, like, I don't know, just come about in little things that your kids do or things that they say, that you'll see that the things that you're doing are making a difference.
I love that. Randa, I think you're extraordinary, and so do your three friends who nominated you, and now all of our audience at the Extraordinary Moms podcast will know as well and be inspired by you and be inspired by Parker, and I think you're extraordinary. So congratulations for
Thank
winning
you.
Our award.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
You too.
One thing I noticed about the nominations this month is for every person that got called out and got nominated for being extraordinary, when they heard that they were being singled out for that recognition, there was automatically a response of appreciation that they were being acknowledged, but then also so many compliments going back to the person that nominated them. And I think that's so amazing. That is so powerful. So for every comment I got, there was double the amount of comments because people were interacting and complimenting each other. And I think there's so much power in encouraging other women. And I mean, how often are we really feeling like anybody is seeing what we're doing? How often are we really being acknowledged for the hard work that we're doing? And so to be called out by a friend or a family member or somebody that just sees what you are doing and thinks you're doing awesome, that can be a game changer for them and give them the absolute boost and motivation and pat on the back that they might need today. So if you nominated somebody, thank you so much. And if you were nominated, I think you are so amazing. Congratulations for being highlighted in the Extraordinary Moms podcast community. You are all truly extraordinary. So if you want to see pictures of Randa's family or Autumn's family, if you want links to anything that we talked about, you can go to extraordinarymomspodcast.com and look up all the information there. You can follow me on Instagram at JessicaDahlquist3 or on Facebook at Extraordinary Moms Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in every week. It is such a pleasure to bring you these episodes. Next week, I have an amazing episode for you. I'm talking with Joy Cho of Oh Joy. She is so delightful and inspiring as a mom of two little girls. And we talk about everything from her business to how she raises her girls to develop a healthy self-image and confidence. I loved it so much, and I know you will too. So I hope everyone has an awesome day, and I'll see you next Tuesday for another episode with another extraordinary mom. Bye.